The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join 450 retailers who are scaling six times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's May 5th, 2025. And this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Amazon reports Q1 2025 earnings. Walmart releases an annual shareholder letter. UPS reports Q1 2025 earnings. And Kohl's fires its CEO. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Amazon reports Q1 2025 earnings. Amazon seems to be investing in AWS and hoping for the best. It was the night after earnings and all through the house. Not a tariff was stirring, not even a mouse. The sellers were hung by the chimney with care. Sellers were hung? Wait, that sounds bad. Scratch that, reverse it. Let's back it up and talk about some good news. Amazon had and did use some cash to pull forward first-party inventory to beat the tariffs for now. Translation, we can delay but not eliminate that oncoming train. Of course, Amazon has over 2 million third-party sellers, which have all sorts of different strategies which will help Amazon beat the tariffs. My translation here is, we don't really know how this will play out, but hopefully some of our sellers have good plans. In even better news, Amazon's ad business is growing 19% year-over-year off of a very high base and generated $14 billion in revenue in the quarter. Of course, they also have some bad news spun as good news, meaning Amazon has a high concentration of China direct sellers, which everyone already knew that was high, and they spun this as a positive, saying these folks actually have lower costs than American resellers of Chinese products. The translation for them is, our sellers' post-tariff reduced margin is their opportunity to take share instead of raising prices. Yeah, they actually said that. In the decent news department, overall revenue was up 10% year over year, and North American segment revenue was up 8%. Pretty standard, really. Third-party selling unit mix was steady at 61%. And there's more sort of bad news spun as good news, which I actually think is probably good news. Free cash flow decreased 50% to $26 billion for the trailing 12 months, compared with $50 billion for the previous year's trailing 12 months. Why? First, they pulled forward all this inventory and invested so much in new chips for AWS. But of course, this is because AWS AI efforts are supply constrained. So, good news? And finally, the tariff stuff. So, how do tariffs impact Amazon? Well, nobody really knows. And Amazon is saying it hasn't really affected their demand, or the average selling price of retail items has not yet gone up significantly. So, what is Amazon doing about tariffs? Amazon has pulled forward extra first-party inventory in Q1 in response to tariffs. You know, while they didn't use the R word, I think Amazon is hoping that if shit really hits the fan, customers trust them more than others, which they did mention. They're also hoping that apparently some deep-pocketed sellers also decide to take share from their market and pull forward inventory in response to tariffs too. All in all, a pretty tame earnings call with some bright spots, including ads and unknowns, meaning retail. Grocery did get a shout out, which is probably the first time in a year or so that I've seen grocery mentioned. And they tried to say that even regular Amazon, you forget about Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods, regular Amazon is one of the largest grocers in the world already. And that's actually partially true because Amazon has a lot of everyday essentials that people buy. It's just a wacky, wild selection. Our second story. Walmart releases an annual shareholder letter. Walmart reiterated a few important things in their annual shareholder letter from its CEO, so I thought I would try to unpack what they said versus what they mean, Watson style, in the shareholder letter. What they said was, Walmart announced by the end of 2025, 95% of Americans can get 3-hour Walmart delivery. What they mean is, if you want three-hour delivery, you're going to have to pay a premium for it. And that is high-margin business for us. How many SKUs this is for is not revealed, which is actually kind of the part that ultimately matters. But still, this is a great milestone for them and shows their supply chain automation and transformation in the last few years. Second, what they said was, Walmart is building a new business model. What they mean is, our new business model actually happens to be Amazon's old business model. Marketplace, fulfillment services, and ads. Seems like such good ideas, we don't even need ChatGPT to copy-paste that business model. Also, what they mean is, retail is quite difficult and very low margin. What's better than someone else taking the inventory risk or marketplace and then paying us high margin ad revenue, which is what Walmart Connect is all about? Third, they also said that they're navigating quote unquote turbulence and have done it other times like the pandemic, the 2008 recession, post 9/11. We know how to navigate turbulence. Wow. The fact that these are the comparable event examples, meaning shit is starting to get bad and ever so slightly likely going to get worse. And it's also what they mean is, folks, this is your Walmart captain speaking on behalf of retail airline. If you have not yet located your barf bags, now is not a time to pull those out. As a reminder, the brace for impact position is to stick your head between your legs. Seriously, though, of the retailers, Walmart is in a good position. The CEO said they would not trade their position for others, and I would agree with them. Our third story. UPS reports Q1 2025 earnings. UPS is actually trying to make changes very quickly, hoping for the best, but also planning for the worst. A few very interesting insights from the latest UPS earnings call. First, tariffs will hit their SMB audience faster than everyone else, and I haven't been hearing this as much. Most SMB customers are single source from China, and this customer base is trying to reconfigure, but larger customers actually have first crack at new manufacturers. This makes a lot of sense because larger customers have capital to pull inventory forward to beat tariffs, and SMBs do not. UPS says it's an open question on how large companies respond to tariffs, whether it's a price increase, pushing the cost to suppliers, or otherwise. They're already seeing big growth increases from Europe, Vietnam, and Thailand inbound into the U.S. as manufacturing volume shifts some. Tariffs are causing customers to sell off inventory rather than reorder right now, and as a result, I feel that inventory levels could decline this year after increasing last year. In terms of the tariff situation, UPS is kind of getting a tariff triple whammy that they are trying to manage. First is that China to U.S. is their most profitable trading lane. Second is that their SMB customers, which, as you recall, are hit the hardest, they're actually growing the fastest for UPS, meaning their DAP revenue grew 25% year over year. And finally, SMB are some of their most profitable customers and represent 31% of their volume, which is the highest number ever. All told, import volume is only 2% of global daily volume, so exposure is not the worst, and UPS considers the consumer pretty healthy. Second, UPS is aggressively reconfiguring its network to deal with the Amazon ramp down. The CEO is quick to point out that 60% of the Amazon volume that is disappearing is not profitable. And in response, the company is removing $3.5 billion in expenses related to this. The company closed 11 buildings in all of 2024. Want to guess how many buildings are closing the first half of this year? 73. UPS average daily volume declined in February-March, higher than expected. The company is also planning aggressive U.S. domestic margin expansion from 7% today to 9.3% by the end of Q2 to more than 12% by the end of 2026. More than anything, this shows the downward drag of Amazon on UPS earnings. It also shows you the effect of UPS continued price increases and automation. All told, UPS is working through a number of scenarios. What do I think the lessons are for your business? First is talk to your customers, understand their plans. Second, talk to your own suppliers. Ask for their help with your biggest problems. Call a summit about it. And third, plan a range of scenarios from as dark as we can think and most optimistic we can think. While UPS always publishes ranges, you never hear UPS speaking in such uncertain terms about the future. That itself is notable and should be a lesson for us all. And our last story. Kohl's fires its CEO. The news out of Kohl's is pretty astonishing, as reported by the company itself, as well as the Wall Street Journal. Recall Kohl's has been on a huge roller coaster the past few years trying to save itself. Well, it turns out the cavalry is not coming. The CEO they hired to turn around the company is apparently a shyster who was steering business contracts to former romantic interest Chandra Holt. Talk about a bad deal. Which would be interesting, but where have we heard the name Chandra Holt before? Why, it's none other than the former CEO of the reboot of Beyond.com who got hired and then suddenly left a few months later. As far as Kohl's goes, I do not think the company can be saved. And this is what happens when ownership convinces itself that it has a spring chicken rather than chicken shit. The people who show up to turn said chicken shit into the spring chicken are often not very trustworthy to begin with. Investors probably should instead sell the company for the value of the inventory and real estate and find much better things to do with their time. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, ServiceNow to boost CRM offering with the acquisition of Logic AI CPQ solution. ServiceNow has announced its acquisition of Logic.ai, a composable configure price and quote platform, for an undisclosed amount. This is ServiceNow's 3rd acquisition in a matter of weeks, which showcases its intent to be the AI enterprise solution. The acquisition will boost ServiceNow's growing CRM footprint and also bolster its industry workflows business. It continues the company's transformation from an IT service management platform to an end-to-end enterprise platform that touches various aspects of work. Second, Japan's Zozo to acquire shopping platform Glist for $154 million. Zozo has announced its intention to acquire 100% of British fashion shopping platform List for $154 million in cash and cash equivalents. As part of the transaction, List will become a wholly owned subsidiary of Zozo. Zozo is positioning the transaction as a way to transform fashion discovery through artificial intelligence. It also supports Zozo's international growth ambition as it gains exposure in the US, UK, and Europe, complementing its Japanese market leadership. Third, Yotpo acquires Coho AI to build AI-powered CDP. Retention Marketing Platform has announced the acquisition of Coho.ai, a customer data platform, for an undisclosed amount. This by itself would be normal mergers and acquisition news, yet, reportedly, Coho AI shut down in Israel after struggling to find a business model and is reportedly considered selling its intellectual property. Coho AI's team of a dozen will be joining Yotpo. And the company will be integrated into Yotpo's platform, enabling personalized engagement. Fourth, Huge absorbs Hero Digital, expanding its capabilities. Brooklyn-based digital design agency Huge is integrating Hero Digital, a Chicago-based specialist in performance marketing and commerce. Huge is scaling its ability to deliver end-to-end solutions for clients by uniting with Hero Digital under the Huge brand. This is part of the December 2024 transaction in which Interpublic sold Huge to AEA Investors, a public equity fund. And finally, Shein gains UK approval for London IPO and awaits China approval. Online fast fashion marketplace Shein has reportedly secured approval from Britain's Financial Conduct Authority, FCA, for its planned initial public offering in London. However, it still needs to attain approvals from Chinese regulators, notably the Chinese Security Regulatory Commission, for the flow to proceed. The de minimis rule changes and its impact will likely impact Shein's valuation and the amount of capital it plans to raise. Could the current economic climate lead to an IPO postponement? Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcast on the Fly. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.